As we continue in our study of the great adventure under the umbrella of the men's fraternity, we are now in a session called Understanding Your Servants by Design Profile, Part 1. Let's review a little bit this evidence of this unique design. There's more biblical evidence at conversion. If you look throughout the scriptures, you'd see that there is a change that takes place, talking about the gifts, and that's throughout the epistles in the New Testament. We even see change in the lives of individuals that come in contact with Jesus, whether it be a demoniac, whether it be a woman at the well, or Zacchaeus, a tax collector. Even if you look at every one of the disciples, there was change. Spiritual gifts, they are a unique God-given ability that he uses to enrich and empower his original design in your life. Number one, they are sovereignly distributed by the Holy Spirit. So that's God is the one that's over all of that. Two, they are given for the benefit of others. We don't get gifts for ourselves. We get gifts. It's a strange thing because a lot of times when you think about Christmas or a birthday, we're getting gifts for ourselves. This is almost like someone who gets tools for a present, and he allows those tools to be used. He or she allows those tools to be used for the benefit of others. And then thirdly, they are uniquely expressed with varied effects. We see that when somebody is acting on what God has given them, the effects are more numerous than we can even count. And then C, the foundational principle number three, your grace gifts crafted by God at conception, which are your natural abilities, and those received at conversion, which are your spiritual gifts, should not be viewed as mutually exclusive, but rather complementary. So we saw that as we looked at the life of the Apostle Paul. When he was Saul, all those things that he trained for, all those things that pre-Jesus coming into his life, he was able to incorporate into his life and use. But he realized that without Christ, it was pointless and it was worthless. But he was used of God. I mean, you think about his ability to study, ability to look at the Word of God, the Old Testament, and handle it the way he did when he was trained under Gamaliel. And now, as he becomes a believer, the light goes on of all the meaning behind that. It's just a beautiful thing. So, in getting acquainted with your personality structure, we look at the five truths about your condominium. And you can look at the building there and see how the structure is. And so, number one, your design is not limited to one personality part, but rather a unique combination of all six. That's what our personality is. It's a combination of different things that come together to make you the person that you are. And your percentage bars represent the amounts of energy God has given you for each personality part. So some things are going to have more percentage-wise than others, and that's just because you and I are wired the way we are. Thirdly, your greatest strengths are found in the personality parts closest to the foundation, which is what you're rooted in, what you're holding on to. And then your personality parts nearest the attic will be the ones you rely on least. And so if you look at a house, most of the time, you're spending most of your time foundationally in the bottom floor there, not necessarily the basement, but you're spending the vast majority of your time in the midst of the house. Every now and then you get up in the attic. Every now and then you're there, but more often than not, you're going to be on that first floor. And then five, understanding your unique personality structure will help you discover your unique design from God. There are seven specifics in your profile report. There are strengths, and those are the core assets of your unique design. There's the viewpoint, that's the perspective from which you view life. there are motivators, the wants and needs that make you come alive. There's the subject matter, that's the resources you enjoy working with the most. There's the abilities, the activities that describe how you go about doing things. There's the setting, that's the environment in which you might best express your design. And then lastly, there's the relationships, and that's the type of supervision or leadership under which you will work most productively. So we have a list here of dreamer, catalyzer, energizer, persister, harmonizer, and achiever. And so when you understand the strengths, viewpoint, and motivators of each personality part, that helps you understand you, how God has made you. So let's look at the first one there. It's harmonizer. The strengths of a harmonizer. They're compassionate. They're sensitive. They're warm. Their viewpoint is they have a feelings first lens. And for them, that just makes complete sense. They can see something and immediately emotionally resonate with it. The motivator is that there's a needs recognition of a person. Percentage of the U.S. population that are these harmonizers, they're 30%. 75% of them are female, 25% are male. And a biblical example is Martha's sister Mary. Listen to this in Luke 10, beginning at verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Now, something that you and I need to remember as we read that story is they are both different people. They're sisters, different people, though, different priorities. And since Mary is a harmonizer, she is loving the fact that she can now sit at Jesus' feet and learn and spend time with him. And sometimes Martha gets a bad rap because why isn't she doing what Mary? But if we had only Mary's, a lot of things would not get done that need to get done. And so we see Mary here, and Jesus commends her for being the harmonizer that she is. But it can be frustrating for a person like Martha. And so it's just a reminder for you and me to understand that there are people that are like this, that are strongly like this, and we're grateful that they are, because they are the people that will come alongside someone, put their arm around them, encourage them in ways that we may not be able to do, but we would serve in a different way. And that's okay. Second one that we're going to look at today is the achiever. And the achiever, their strengths are logical, they're organized, they're responsible, and their viewpoint is thinking is their first lens. The motivator, they need recognition of ideas and accomplishments. And the percentage of the U.S. population is 25% is an achiever, 25% are female, 75% are male. And a biblical example of this is the person Nehemiah. The Bible talks about Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 6. And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me when I have given him a time. Let me go down to verse 11. So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. I went out by night by the valley gate to the dragon spring and to the dung gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool. There was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley and inspected the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, and I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned? Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. And then we move over to chapter 6 and look at verses 15 and 16. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And when all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Aren't you grateful for the achiever? That person that you know them, you see them in the meeting, they're just taking things in, and then when it's all said and done, they've got an amazing plan. And what a gift that God has given us. I know God has placed around me harmonizers, and he placed around me achievers, and I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful when I'm harmonizing, and I'm grateful when I'm achieving. So this is the calling on our lives, and some of you have that gift. And that gift was given to you, not just for you, but for you to use in other people's lives. Well, here's some questions as we wrap up. What truth or principle presented today meant the most to you, and why? And then when you think about yourself, as you think about just these two for today, harmonizer and achiever, has God given you any of those as something that is in your makeup? Or as you look at it in other people's lives, you're blessed by it. Maybe it would be a great thing for you to encourage somebody that you see has this giftedness and thank them for how they're using it for the glory of God.